Somber music you're hearing as a black hearse carrying the body of former North Korean leader Kim Jong-il winds its way through the snowy streets of Pyongyang last night. Tens of thousands of people participated in the choreographed procession, lining up to wail and clutch at their chests as a final sign of subjugation to the man who ruled over them with an iron fist for almost two decades. The secretive North Korean government kept the funeral services shielded from foreign eyes, but state-run television showed a motorcade led by a black sedan, affixed with a massive portrait of Kim Jong-il, as it made its way to the mausoleum where the so-called dear leader will be entombed next to his father. North Korean state television is showing an endless loop of the funeral, punctuated by a weeping soldier asking the camera, "How can the sky not cry?" Son and successor Kim Jong-un was the head mourner, walking with one hand on the hearse, the other raised in salute, his head bowed against the wind. Today's funeral marks a formal turning point in North Korea's second father-to-son power transfer in its history. Joining us now is Los Angeles Times Beijing bureau chief Barbara Demick. She's author of Nothing to Envy, Ordinary Lives in North Korea. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning.
You watched the funeral, as I understand it. Now, we described some of the procession just there, some that we could, that we were able to see and record. But national mourning and pageantry often says more about the message than it does about the deceased. What was the message in this funeral that you saw?
Well, I think there were two messages. The message of the people keening and weeping, and I will say not crying because I didn't see very many tears, was exactly as you explained, subjugation. We are your subjects, and we will grieve appropriately. The language of Kim Jong-un, the 28-something young son, is that he is in control. The situation is stable. I think continuity was a very strong part of the message. It's interesting to me that this funeral was almost a copy of Kim Il-sung's funeral in 1994, except for the snow. It was really identical, the same types of cars, the imagery, the same weeping. And that's a very important message, is that we are continuing for a third generation.
Now, continuity was an important message, as you're saying, in the subtext of that funeral. But what sense of Kim Jong-un as a leader? We think of Kim Jong-il now dead. We think of an autocrat with an iron grip on the country. But surely North Korea has factions and political ties behind the scenes. Do we really know if Kim Jong-un is really in charge in the way it was reflected by the pageantry?
Well, I don't think he's in charge, but I think he's the figurehead that the military establishment has rallied behind. It's very interesting, some of the moves that came before Kim Jong-il's death. His uncle, Jang Song-taek, who's Kim Jong-il's brother-in-law, very powerful, very well-connected in the military, was elevated. The military has been given a rather free hand the last 2 years. I think that's why you've seen more aggression towards South Korea. And the message that was given to the military is, you accept Kim Jong-un, you accept this, I guess he was 27 at the time, 27-year-old, as a four-star general, and he will stand behind you.
And he'll be so essentially a part leader, part figurehead, I suppose. And now going forward, in the choreography of statecraft here, the state now needs to show that Kim Jong-un is in charge. What do you expect over the next month or two in terms of stagecraft, the theater of geopolitics, so that North Korea can show the world that despite the military aggression and other things that go on behind the scenes, that Kim Jong-un is indeed the next dear leader, the next autocrat of North Korea, that he's in charge?
Well, interestingly enough, I think the propaganda will die down a bit after the funeral. Again, they follow a template of what they've done before. North Korea is not terribly original. And after Kim Il-sung died in 94, Kim Jong-il went into virtual seclusion for 3 years, not to assert himself too publicly. So I think they will keep up the appropriate amount for them of rhetoric and propaganda. Kim Jong-un, the supreme, the wise, the leader, but I don't think you will see him as active as he's been the last few months.
Barbara Demick of the LA Times Beijing bureau chief, you're suggesting maybe that Kim Jong-un may recede behind the scenes and maybe experience his apprenticeship while being the new dear leader of North Korea, get some training before he pops onto the world scene.
That's right. This is supposed to be very much a collective leadership, almost a military junta, with Kim Jong-un representing the Kim name, the third generation. That is supposed to give him legitimacy. But I think at the moment, he's not the true ruler of North Korea.
What you're describing, Barbara Demick, doesn't sound like a whole lot of daylight from the perspective of South Korea, with the military influences on the rise, Kim Jong-un towing the party line, sort of repeating the same optical narrative that we've seen in two other transitions. Any hope of progress with South Korea? Do the South Koreans have any reason to be optimistic once this funeral's over?
Well, this is the key question. Everybody is saying Kim Jong-un was educated in Switzerland. He speaks German and maybe English. He's seen the outside, and that he will be North Korea's Deng Xiaoping and open up the economy. Certainly, that's what the people are hoping. But on the other hand, his views are not that important. He has to prove himself to be tough. And many analysts are saying they expect the policy known as Songun, or military first, to continue, you know, hard line, tough, unyielding. So, you know, in that way, it could get worse before it gets better. I choose to be optimistic because I think Kim Jong-un has one key advantage. Because he's unknown, he's an innocent. He's not somebody who could be hauled before a war crimes tribunal. And, you know, perhaps that gives him more leeway to go forward. I think with the rest of the world, we're trying to be optimistic about this.
Barbara Demick is Beijing bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times. She's author of Nothing to Envy, The Ordinary Lives in North Korea. Barbara, thank you for helping us in the aftermath of, well, the continuing funeral of Kim Jong-il and the transition to his successor, Kim Jong-un, in North Korea. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you. Good night.